الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue reading in the chapter the author she mentioned. حفظها الله تعالى اتقوا النساء. Be cautious from the women, meaning from the trials and tribulations that come with the temptations from women. We have been reading in our previous classes some points that the author, she mentioned, حفظها الله تعالى, with regards to the clarification of how the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla has taken great precaution in order to prevent these trials from occurring, which minimize them. And we continue reading from where we had left off, and she mentions the fourth aspect. She says, قال الإمام مسلم قال الإمام مسلم رحمه الله حدثني هارون بن سعيد الأيلي وأبو الطاهر قال أبو الطاهر أخبرنا وقال هارون حدثنا ابن وهب قال حدثني مالك عن ابن شهاب عن أروة أن عائشة رضي الله عنها أخبرته عن بيعة النساء قالت ما مس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بيده امرأة قط إلا أن يأخذ عليها فإذا أخذ عليها فأعطته قال اذهبي فقد بايعتك So the author now she mentions the narration of Imam Muslim رحمه الله تعالى with his chain to Aisha رضي الله عنها, rather with his chain to Urwa, yeah, Urwa ibn Zubayr. And he's saying that Aisha radiallahu anha has informed him of the manner of how the women would pledge allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, accepting their Islam, clarification, their acceptance of their Islam and their allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said about this affair, ما مس رسول الله sallallahu alayhi wa sallam بيده امرأة قط, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never touched a woman with his hand ever, meaning a woman that's not from his wife or from his family, from his maharim, a woman that's considered a stranger. He never touched a woman with his hand ever, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says, illa an ya'khudha alayha, but whenever he would take her allegiance. فَإِذَا أَقَذَ عَلَيْهَا فَأَعْطَعْتُ قَالَ اِذْهَبِي فَقَدْ بَايَعْتُكِ. If he would take the allegiance from a woman and she would stick out her hand, then he would say to her, go, indeed I have accepted your allegiance. Indeed I have accepted your allegiance. Meaning that the bay'ah has been established. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never touched the woman's hand ever. And whenever the women, they would come to pledge allegiance, he would do that with words and not by shaking hands. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Illa an ya'khudha alayha, yani walakin ya'khudhu alayha al-bay'ata bil-kalam. It's the meaning of the narration. But he would take the allegiance from her by speech and statement. And not by shaking hands. And this is also come in other wordings by Al-Imam Muslim. From that is that Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ يُبَعْيِئْنَا بِالْكَلَامِ, except for the fact that the women, they pledged their allegiance in statement. Any meaning, not with shaking the hands. And likewise, in another wording, Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, كَانَ يَقُولُ إِذَا أَخَذَ عَلَيْهِنَّ قَدْ بَعْيَعْتُكُنَّ كَلَامًا. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say to them whenever he had taken their allegiance, indeed I have taken your allegiance, and he would do that in statement. So even at this time, in this great affair here of pledging allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever the women they would come, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would do that in statement only, and he would not shake their hands. The author, she mentions another narration to clarify this affair, and she says, وَقَالَ الْإِمَامُ التِّرْمِذِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ حَدَّثَنَا قُتَيْبَةُ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا سُفْيَانُ عَنْ مُحَمَّدِ بِنَ الْمُنْكَدَرِ أَنَّهُ سَمِعَ أُمَيَّةَ بِنْتَ رُقَيْقَةَ رضي الله عنها تقول بايعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في نسوة فقال لنا فيما استطعتن وأطقتن وأطعتنه. So the author, she mentions now, حفظه الله تعالى, the narration of Imam al-Tirmidhi with his chain to Umayyah bint Ruqayqa. She says, I pledge allegiance to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amongst some women. And he told us, فِيمَا اسْتَطَعْتُنَّ وَأَطَقْتُنَّ. You know, you're pledging your allegiance to me, yani upon your Islam and your obedience to me and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the likes of that which that pledge was for. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told them as much as you are able and as much as you can bear. And you must uphold this allegiance and this pledge as much as you are able and as much as you can bear. So Umayyah bint Ruqayqa radiallahu anha, she says, قُلْتُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَرْحَمُ بِنَا مِنَّا بِأَنفُسِنَا. She said, I said that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are more merciful to us than we are to our own selves. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ بَايِعْنَا. So she says, I said to him, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بَايِعْنَا, accept our pledge of allegiance. قَالَ سُفِيَان, يعني صافحنا. Sufyan, one of the narrators here, Ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, rahimahullah, ta'ani صافحنا. Whenever she says, I said to him, bayi'na, يعني make the pledge of allegiance with us, then he's saying that means صافحنا. That's what she's intending here. I shake our hands. Shake our hands, because this is originally the way the allegiance will be taken. A man, he will pledge allegiance and he will shake hands with another man. But here there are women involved. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clarifying the methodology. So they're thinking that this is the normal way. When you pledge allegiance, you shake hands. When you pledge allegiance, you shake hands. So she says, فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ. She says that the Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ, he said, إِنَّمَا قَوْلِي لِمِئَةِ امْرَأَةٍ كَقَوْلِي لِمْرَأَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. Indeed, my statement, I mean, my pledge of allegiance by way of statement to 100 women is like that to one woman. Meaning it's all the same. Likewise, this wording here has come in Sunan al-Nisa'i, even with more clarification. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنِّي لَا أُصَافِحُ النِّسَى. إِنِّي لَا أُصَافِحُ النِّسَى. Whenever she said, بَايِعْنَا, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, بَايِعْنَا, يَنِي صَافِحْنَا, O Messenger of Allah, accept our allegiance, يعني shake our hands. And the pledge of allegiance, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنِّي لَا أُصَافِحُ النِّسَى. Indeed, I do not shake the hands of women. Indeed, I do not shake the hands of women. And then he mentions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the statement here and the wording of at-Tirmidhi. The wording of at-Tirmidhi, which the author she's mentioning, حفظه الله تعالى, إنما قولي لمية امرأة كقولي لمرأة واحدة. That indeed my statement to 100 women is like that of a statement, is like that of my statement to one woman. يعني meaning any في البيعة القولية, meaning in the allegiance that is done verbally. Meaning in accepting the allegiance in a manner done verbally. So even in this great situation here of the pledge of allegiance to believe in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to support the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to follow him and to obey him, absolutely, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is done in this manner with women, without the shaking of hands. Without the shaking of hands, because this is not from the proper manner and from the proper manners and etiquettes that strange men and strange women will shake hands. Rather, they will not touch each other whatsoever. So now here the author, she says, "What hadithu isnaduhu sahih." And in this narration here, the chain is authentic. In these narrations, there are a number of benefits. From that, fihi anna bay'at an-nisa bil-kalam min ghayri akhdhi kaffin. From the benefits here, we see that the women, they pledge allegiance by way of statement, verbally, without taking the hands. Meaning without shaking hands whatsoever. And number two, وَفِيهِ أَنَّ بَيْعَةَ الرِّجَالِ بِأَخْذِ الْكَفِّ مَعَ الْكَلَامِ. And also we see here that the way the men pledge allegiance is that they shake hands. They take each other by the hands and they shake hands along with the verbal pledge of allegiance. So this is the origin. The men, they pledge allegiance in this manner, verbally, and likewise by shaking hands. As for the women, there's no shaking hands. It's only verbally. Also, we have here an additional benefit and clarification. المصافحة تكون باليد اليمنى.
And the shaking hands it's by way of the right hand. Shaking hands is by way of the right hand. لا بالإثنتين. Not by two hands. A person, when they shake hands, if a man, he shakes another man's hand, or even if a woman happens to shake a woman's hand, then that will be with one hand, the right hand. They will not shake the hands with both hands. Some people, they do that. They'll take the right hand and shake the hands, and then they'll put their left hand on top of the other hand and shake the person's right hand with two hands. And what has come in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that each person will give their right hand and they'll shake hands with their right hand. And this has come in the hadith about the Islam of Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. Whenever he came to accept Islam, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Ubsut yaminaka fal-ubayi'ka." O Messenger of Allah, stick out your right hand so I can pledge my allegiance. O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, extend your right hand so I can pledge allegiance to you. Fabasata yaminahu sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Prophet, he extended his right hand sallallahu alayhi wasallam in order to shake hands and the pledge of allegiance. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is the manner of shaking hands that has come in the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It would be with the right hand only. It would be with the right hand only. The author, she says, وَقَالَ الْإِمَامُ الطَّبَرَانِي رَحِيمُهَا اللَّهِ فِي مُعْجَمِهِ الْكَبِيرِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا مُوسَى قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا مُوسَى بْنُ هَارُونَ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا إِسْحَاقُ بْنُ رَهُوَيَ قَالَ أَخْبَرَنَا النَّضَرُ بْنُ شُمَيْلَ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا شَدَادُ بْنُ سَعِيدٍ الرَّاسِبِي قَالَ سَمِعْتُ يَزِيدَ بْنَ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ شِخِيرَ يَقُولُ سَمِعْتُ مَاقِلَ بْنَ يَسَارَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ يَقُولُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. She mentions now a narration by Al-Imam al-Tabarani, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his work which is entitled Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir. Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir. Tabarani, rahimahullah, from the great scholars of hadith, he died in the year 360. He has a number of works of hadith, and from those authors who narrate with chain. Scholars of hadith who are narrators of hadith and collecting the narrations by way of chain. He has a number of works from them, Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir, Al-Mu'jam al-Awsat, and Al-Mu'jam al-Saghir. And also, he has another work called Musnad al-Shami'in, and other very beneficial works likewise, rahimahullahu ta'ala. She mentions here, hafidhahullah, his chain and his work, Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir, to Maqil ibn Yasar, radiyallahu anhu. He says that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَأَنْ يُطَعْنَهُ في رأس أحدكم بمخيط من حديد خير له من أن يمس امرأة لا تحل له لأن يطعن في رأس أحدكم بمخيط من حديد خير له من أن يمس امرأة لا تحل له. The fact that one of you is stabbed in his head with a needle made from iron is better than one of you touching a woman that's not lawful for him. And the fact that one of you would be struck in his head with a needle made from steel or iron, this is better for him than touching a woman that's not lawful for him.
She says, وَحَدَّثَنَا عَبْدَانِ بْنُ أَحْمَدِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا سَرُ بْنُ عَلِي قَالَ أَخْبَرَنَا أَبِي قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا شَدَادُ بْنُ سَعِيدِ فَذَكَرَهُ والحديث إسناده حسن من أجل الشداد بن سعيد فإنه صادوق يخطئ كما في التقريب كما في التقريب. And she mentions another chain likewise that he had mentioned, and then she mentions as well along with that that this narration here is considered حسن. The narration here, the chain is considered حسن from the individual. His name is Shaddad ibn Sa'id. Shaddad ibn Sa'id. And Ibn Hajar has mentioned about him and his status or in his level or rank of narrating صَدُوقٌ يُخْطِئُ, that he is trustworthy and reliable, but he makes mistakes, meaning he has weakness in his memorization. She says, كَمَّ فِي التَّقْرِيبِ إِنِي تَقْرِيبِ التَّهْذِيبِ, a great work by Ibn Hajar Asqalani, clarifying the levels and ranks of the narrators of a hadith, and with regards to جَرْحُ وَتَعْدِيلِ, whether they're reliable or unreliable, whether they're good in their memory or not, so on and so forth, whether they're thiqah, whether the narrations they narrate are accepted or not. Any of these affairs here are mentioned in that and that work, which is a very beneficial work. So this person here, saduq, yani meaning that he's trustworthy
initially in his religion and the likes like this, and a good narrator, لَكِنُّهُ يُخْطِئُ, but he makes mistakes. So his memorization is not of that high status like other narrators. So therefore, the narrations that he narrate, they would be considered acceptable, especially if there are other chains supporting them. So because of this, the narration is considered hasan, which is still a reliable and a good narration because of this individual here. An indication that obviously the other narrators in the chain are strong and upright, but it has fallen from the level of being sahih to the level of being hasan because of this individual here and a weakness he has in his memorization of narrating narrations. These are some benefits that she's referring to from the science of Mustalah Hadith. She says, وَالْحَذَا الْحَدِيثُ يَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّ لَمْسَ الْمَرْأَةِ الْأَجْنَبِيَ مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ وَهُوَ ذَرِيعَةٌ إِلَى الْفِتْنَةِ. Now she mentions a great benefit. This narration here indicates and clarifies that touching a strange woman is from the major sins. And that it leads to trials and temptations, tribulations. It leads to fitna. So she says now, وَقَالَ الشَّنْقِيطِي رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهِ فِي الْأَضْوَاءِ. الشَّنْقِيطِي, he mentioned in his tafsir al-adwa' يعني أضواء البيان في تفسيري أو في إيضاحي القرآن بالقرآن. أضواء البيان في إيضاحي القرآن بالقرآن. يعني this is the name of his tafsir رحمه الله تعالى. And she mentions the transmission from him. And she says that he said, رحمه الله, ولا شك أن لمس البدن للبدن أقوى في إثارة الغزيرة وأقوى داعيا إلى الفتنة من النظر بالعين وكل منصف يعلم صحة ذلك. And there's no doubt that the bodies touching each other is stronger to rile up the desires and a greater caller to fitna than just looking with the eye. And everyone who is just, they understand the correctness of this. And the fact that the man and woman they would touch, this is greater. This is a greater means to stir up the shahwa and the desires and the temptations, greater than just looking alone. And everyone who has a sound mind, who is honest and just, they would confess to this. So he says, وَبَعْضُ النَّاسِ إِذَا أَرَادَ أَن يُصَافِحَ أَجْنَبِيًا أَوْ امْرَأَةٌ أَرَادَتْ أَن تُصَافِحَ أَجْنَبِيًا يَضَعُ عَلَى يَدِهِ حَائِلًا. He says, and some people, whenever they want to shake a strange woman's hand, or a woman, she wants to shake a strange man's hand, then they will put gloves on their hands, or they will put a barrier, like a glove or something, on their hands, and covering their skin. كَأَنَّ الْمَقْسُودَ مِنَ النَّهِي عَنْ مُصَافَحَةِ الْأَجَانِبِ إِلْتِقَاءُ الْبَشَرَةِ بِالْبَشَرَةِ أَمَّا بِحَائِلٍ فَيَجُوزُ. And it's as if, meaning that they think the intention from the prohibition of shaking hands with strangers is just so that the skin does not touch the skin. And as for if there's a barrier between the skin, then it's permissible. He clarifies, rahimahullah, wa hadha batil, and this is falsehood, this is incorrect. فَإِنَّ الْأَدِلَّةَ تَشْمَلُهُ وَالْعِلَّةَ مِنَ النَّهِي عَنْ مُصَافَحَةِ الْأَجَانِبِ بَاقِيَةٌ فِي ذَلِكَ. This is falsehood, and the evidence, they include this. The evidence is they include this. And the reason for the prohibition is, and the reason for the prohibition from shaking hands is still remains. It still remains. And even if there are gloves, for example, or there is something between them, even if one were to shake a woman's hand and their skin did not touch, the prohibition remains. So this is the end of his statement. انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. This is the end of his statement. This is what this alif and ha means here at the end of the statement here. There's a period and then the alif and the ha. Al-alif wa ha. That means انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. Meaning that's the end of his statement. May Allah have mercy on him. So now she says, حفظها الله وبعض الناس عند وجود المناسبات كيوم العيد وعند القدوم من السفر يذهب يزور أقرباءه. There's a mistake here. The hamza should not be sitting on anything. The hamza should be sitting alone. يزور أقرباءه. Here the hamza is sitting on the line. There's a line there like for the ya. that should not be there. And the ha should be just a circle. And the hamza should be sitting on the empty space, because the hamza here is taking a fatha. It's taking a fatha before it is a sukun. So it will fall onto the satr. It will fall onto the line.
يزور أقرباءه المحارم وغير المحارم ويصافحهن إما من أجل التقرب إلى الله بذلك أو من باب الآدات وهكذا المرأة.
So she says now, and some people, whenever there are certain events like the day of Eid or someone coming from out of town on a travel, then he will go and visit his relatives from those who are considered maharim and those who are not considered maharim, and he will shake their hands, any of the women's hands, either because he's trying to do this as a means to please Allah and draw near to him, or it's from the aspect of customs. And likewise, the woman will do the same. The woman will do the same. And going back to the issue of mixing with the family members that are considered distant in the legislation, and it's not allowed to mix and mingle with them or to be alone with them and the likes like this, like which has preceded in our previous class. Here the issue now is about shaking their hands. Likewise, that's not lawful. Some people, they do that. Some people, they do that. So this is a clarification that that's not lawful. So it's not allowed for the cousins, the male and female, to shake each other's hand, to give each other hugs and the likes like this. This is not proper. This is not correct. It's not allowed for the one who's considered a non-mahram to mix like this, or to touch like this, or to be alone, so on and so forth. This is all from the things that are forbidden in the deen of Allah in order to sever and cut off all means that lead to the fitan and trials of the impermissible lust and desires. Of the impermissible lust and desires. So she says now, عَلَى أَنَّ تَخْصِيصَ زِيَارَاتِ وَالْمُصَافَحَاتِ يَوْمَ الْعِيدِ وَكَذَلِكَ تَهْنِيَةِ بِيَوْمِ الْعِيدِ وَبِقُدُومِ رَمَضَانَ وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ لَيْسَ بِمَشْرُوعٍ لِلرِّجَالِ وَلَا النِّسَاءِ
And she says, and along with that,
specializing visits and shaking hands for the day of Eid, and likewise congratulating on the day of Eid or congratulating because of the coming of Ramadan and the likes like this, this is not legislated for the men nor for the women. This is not legislated for the men nor for the women. She says, وَلَكِنَّهَا لَا تَصِلُ إِلَى حَدِّ الْبِدْعَةِ But these issues here, they do not reach the level of innovation. إِلَّا إِذَا قَصَدَ بِذَلِكَ التَّقَرُّبَ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِذَا قَصَدَ بِذَلِكَ التَّقَرُّبَ إِلَى اللَّهِ Except if a person intended by way of that seeking nearness to Allah. فَتَصِلُ إِلَى حَدِّ الْبِدْعَةِ This time it will reach the level of innovation. لِأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ عَلَى أَهْدِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمٍ Because this is something that did not occur in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is an issue that the people of knowledge, they have discussed the issue of visiting on the day of Eid and congratulating one another on the day of Eid, and likewise giving congratulations as well and glad tidings of the coming of Ramadan. These affairs that she's mentioning here is from the issues that the people of knowledge, they have mentioned. And some of the people of knowledge, they have a position similar to what she's mentioning here, but the majority of the scholars of the past and the present, they do not hold that position. Rather, they find that it is lawful and that it is from the good things, that at the coming of Ramadan, it's allowed to give glad tidings and it's allowed to congratulate and to be happy about of the coming of Ramadan, and also on Eid, it's allowed and good to give congratulations and to make dua for one another. And likewise as well, good on the days of Eid to visit the relatives for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and also to visit the friends, so on and so forth. All of these affairs here are lawful and permissible. Rather, some of the people of knowledge have mentioned a number of evidences supporting this from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with regards to the issue of congratulating or giving glad tidings to one another at the coming of Ramadan, then a number of the people of knowledge have mentioned narrations with regards to this. From that, a narration by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and another by Anas radiyallahu anhu. We have now in summarization the narration of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, which is collected by al-Imam al-Nasa'i, and likewise al-Imam Ahmad, as well as al-Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shaybah, rahimahum Allahu jami'an. And in this narration, Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Atakum Ramadan, Shahru Mubarak. That indeed Ramadan has come to you. It's a blessed month. فرض الله عز وجل عليكم صيامه. Allah has made fasting this month an obligation on you. In the wording of that Imam Ahmad, it's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made this statement, فلما حضر رمضان. Whenever Ramadan came, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came, he gave this statement, أتاكم رمضان. Ramadan has come to you. شهر مبارك. It's a month. It's a blessed month. Allah has made fasting that month an obligation upon you. فَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ سِيَامَهُ تُفْتَحُ فِيهِ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَتُغْلَقُ فِيهِ أَبْوَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. The gates of the heavens are open in this month and the gates of the hellfire are closed in this month. وَتُغَلُّ فِيهِ مَرَضَةُ الشَّيَاطِينِ. And the wicked, evil, rebellious devils are chained up in this month. لِلَّهِ فِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. And Allah, He has a night in this month that's better than 1,000 months. مَنْ حُرِمَ خَيْرَهَا فَقَدْ حُرِمَ. Whoever is forbidden or prohibited from benefiting from the good of this month, then he has truly been forbidden or prohibited. So a number of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned that this is an evidence here for the issue of the permissibility of giving glad tidings at the coming of Ramadan and being happy and rejoicing and congratulating one another upon that affair. Many of the people of knowledge have mentioned that, past and present. And from them, Al-Hafidh ibn Rajib, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and likewise Shaykh ibn Baz, and Shaykh Uthaymeen, and Shaykh al-Albani, and Shaykh al-Shanqiti, and Shaykh al-Fawzan, and Shaykh Suleiman, and Shaykh Muhammad, and likewise Shaykh Abdul Razak, hafidhahullahu ta'ala, as well as Shaykh his father, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin. They all mentioned that these affairs are from the affairs that are permissible, and from the affairs that are lawful. With regards to the narration that I'm mentioning, Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says, خَالَ بَعْضُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ هَذَا أَصْلٌ فِي صِحَّةِ التَّهْنِيَةِ بِرَمَضَانِ وَالِاسْتِبْشَارِ بِكُدُومِهِ وَالْفَرَحِ بِمَجِئِهِ. And he says that some of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned that this narration here is a fundamental principle and evidence clarifying the authenticity or the correctness, clarifying the validity of congratulating upon the coming of Ramadan and giving glad tidings of its coming, and likewise rejoicing and being very happy that it has entered. وَأَنَّ مَجِئُهُ كَمَجِئِ أَعْظَمِ ضَيْفٍ عَزِيزٍ بَلْ وَهُوَ أَعَزٍ. And that the coming of Ramadan is like the coming of a great and noble guest, rather even more noble is the guest of Ramadan. And then he made the example here, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, of a guest. If you have a guest coming to your home, then you will honor him and respect him. So likewise, whenever Ramadan comes, you are happy and you rejoice and you show great honor and respect. So in any case, as I mentioned here, what she's referring to, some of the people of knowledge have mentioned that, but many others have another position. But many others have taken another position. Also from the evidences that indicate this, that it's allowed to congratulate on the coming of Ramadan or likewise on the day of Eid, is the story of the repentance of Ka'b ibn Malik and the two along with him, radiyallahu anhum, whenever they stay behind in the Battle of Tabuk. And it's a very wonderful story, an amazing affair, and how they were truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal and they repented sincerely and confessed their sins. And Allah forgave them after going through great trials and hardship, and they were boycotted. And they were boycotted, radiyallahu anhum. And then whenever the repentance was accepted, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he rejoiced and was very happy. And the narration is collected by Bukhari and Muslim, and it's a long narration with many benefits. But in the narration, it's mentioned that whenever Ka'b ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu, he heard of the acceptance of his repentance, and he seen the great happiness in the face of the Prophet and how he was rejoicing over the fact that Allah had accepted his repentance, he said he came into the masjid, and at this time He says, قام إلي طلحة بن عبيد الله يهرويل حتى صحفني حتى صحفني وهناني وهناني. He says that whenever I heard about this and I came in, Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu, he got up, he stood up and he rushed to me and he shook my hands and he's congratulating me. He stood up when he seen me enter, he stood up and rushed to me and he shook my hand and he began to congratulate me. So Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala in his work Zad al-Ma'ad, he mentioned a number of benefits with regards to this narration. And from them he says, وَفِيهِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى اسْتِحْبَابِ تَهْنِيَةِ مَنْ تَجَدَّدَتْ لَهُ نِعْمَةٌ دِينِيَّةٌ. In this narration here, there is an evidence that it's recommended to congratulate the person who has been bestowed a religious blessing. The one who has been favored with a religious blessing, he's deriving from this story here that if you see someone who has been favored with a religious blessing, it's recommended, meaning it's legislated in a good way that you congratulate them. He's taking a general principle from this affair. The way that Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu, whenever the repentance was accepted, he was happy for his brother and he's rejoicing. And he got up and went to him. Whenever he entered the room, he stood up and went to him, shaking his hands and congratulating him. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he's deriving a general benefit from this, and that is that it's recommended to congratulate the one who has been favored and blessed with a religious blessing. And that you congratulate him and that you are happy for him and that you show that joy and display that to that person. He says, وَالْقِيَامْ إِلَيْهِ إِذَا أَقْبَلَ وَمُصَافَحَتِهِ. Likewise, it's recommended as well to stand up whenever, if a person is coming, to stand up for him and to go to him and shake his hand. So he's saying that it's recommended to congratulate the person who had a religious blessing that he was favored with, to congratulate him. And if he comes into the room where a person is, one will stand up to greet him and shake his hands and congratulate him. He says, فَهَذَا سُنَّةٌ مُسْتَحَبَّةٌ. So this is a recommended sunnah. And then he mentioned likewise, rahimahullah, وَهُوَ جَائِزٌ لِمَنْ تَجَدَّدَتْ لَهُ نِعْمَةٌ دُنْيَوِيَّةٌ. And also it's permissible. يعني جائز يعني مباح. It's permissible. It's lawful for the one who has been favored with the worldly blessing likewise. Somebody who was favored with the worldly blessing likewise, to be happy for him and to rejoice with him and to shake their hand and the likes and congratulate them because of a worldly achievement that they have achieved and they were favored and blessed with from the lawful affairs of this worldly life. All of this is legislated. And there are many other benefits that he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, but this is sufficient. The people of knowledge, many of them, they are asked about the issue of visiting the relatives on the day of Eid, any of the issues that she's referring to here. And Shaykh al-Fawzan, he mentioned that this is something that's good. No problem with that. لا بأس بذلك لأن الناس يتفرغون ويتزاورون ويتزاورون فلا بأس بذلك هذا من العادات وما هو من العبادات وهو من العادات. He says that there's no problem with this. He says because on the days of Eid, the people, they are free. يعني they're off work and they're free and they have free time. So they'll go and visit one another. And this is from the customs and the everyday affairs. This is something that they're doing on this day. And it's lawful. It's not considered an action of worship. This is something that is lawful. So to begin with, the relatives, they have the most right. So visiting the relatives on the days of Eid, this is from rejoicing. And likewise, our Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, he mentioned the same thing. He was asked about this affair likewise. He said, this is something that's very good. لا شك أن هذا اليوم يوم فرح وسرور واستبشار للأقارب بعضهم لبعض. This is the day of Eid is a day of happiness and joy, the day of giving glad tidings, and that the relatives, they will give each other glad tidings. And وكون الناس يتزاورون ويتلاقون. The fact that the people there, they are visiting one another on these days and they meet one another likewise. He says, وَلِهَذَا جَاءَ عَنِ الصَّحَابَةِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا تَلَاقَوْا فِي يَوْمِ الْعِيدِ قَالُوا تَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَّا وَمِنْكُمْ يَدْعُوا بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ. He says, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, for this reason, the companions on the day of Eid, whenever they would meet each other, And they would say to each other, may Allah accept from us and accept from you. They would make dua for each other. So he's saying, and I summarize that, no doubt the days of Eid are days of happiness and joy. And from the happiness and joy is that one will be with his family members and loved ones. So the Eid is a day of rejoicing, and from rejoicing is being with your loved ones, family and friends. It's being with your loved one, family and friends. This is the summarization of the response of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, Hafidhullah Ta'ala. So again, the majority of the people of knowledge, they find it to not be a problem whatsoever. Rather, it's something good to greet one another and to visit one another on the days of Eid. And Allah knows best. Many of the people of knowledge, they mention again, similar to what she is referring to, that these visits and the likes like this is not considered an action of worship, as has come in the fatwa of Shaykh al-Fawzan. It's from the adat. So a person, he will not believe that this is from the sunnah. But like, this is something that's permissible. It's something that's lawful. It's something that's allowed. If a person, he's able to visit his family and friends, alhamdulillah, they would do that. And if not, then there's no blame on him. So one, he will not consider it an actual aspect of the religion. It's just from the means of enjoying oneself on that day. So now she says, حَفِظَهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَقَدْ جَاءَ فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ مِنْ حَدِيثِ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ قَالَ مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ فِيهِ فَهُوَ رَدٌّ مَا لَيْسَ فِيهِ فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. And she mentions the narration that has come in a Sahihain from the Hadith of Aisha رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا, the meaning of which is, and whoever introduces into this affair of ours, what does it mean by fi amrina, ay fi dinina, ay fi dinina, meaning in this affair of ours, meaning in this religion of ours, in this way of ours, that which is not from it, then it will be rejected. Wa fi muslimin min hadith Jabir radiyallahu anhu anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala inna asdaqa al-hadithi kalamullah wa khayrul huda huda Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sharrul umuri محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. She mentioned in Sahih Muslim the narration of Jabir that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that indeed the most truthful speech is the speech of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the worst of all affairs are the newly introduced matters in the religion, and every newly introduced matter in the religion is an innovation, and every innovation is misguidance, and every innovation is misguidance. We see here a few things in the text that I'm reading. Inna asdaqa al-hadithi kalamullah wa khayru al-huda. Then it says huda, but the ya has dots on it. That should not be there. Wa khayru al-huda huda Muhammad. Wa khayru al-huda huda Muhammad. Also, it has come wa khayru al-hadiyi. Wa khayru al-hadiyi. Yani with the fatha on the ha and the sukoon on the dal. From al-hadi, not from al-huda, which has the same root. خير الهدي هديو محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. It has come both ways. Then it says وشر الأمور محدثاتها. So this one can be read like that, like it's mentioned here with the dhamma. It's marfu, يعني على الاستئناف. And also it can be read وشر الأمور, and that would be على العطف على اسم إن. So somebody may hear that wa sharrul umuri and think that's wrong. That's not wrong. Rather, there's narrations that have come like that, where the people of knowledge have narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bil raf'i ala al istinaf wa bi an nasbi ala al althf. Wa sharrul umuri muhdathatuha. If it's istinaf, you say wa kullu muhdathatin bid'ah wa kullu bid'atin dhalalah. Or if you read it upon the altf, we say وَشَرُّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا وَكُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. So this is a great benefit. That narrations, they have come with different texts. Any one narration maybe is narrated with a number of chains. And then likewise, the wordings that have come in the different narrations, sometimes they vary. And there are additions and subtractions in some of them, and these narrations, they clarify each other. So maybe somebody will learn one narration, or this is the only one that they heard, and they will think that that's the only way, and anyone who does not read it that way and the likes has made an error or a mistake. But in reality, there are other narrations with that wording. So a person, he will not hasten to consider somebody falling into error or mistake. Rather, they will check first and verify. So this narration has come with different readings. And this is established in the books of hadith and in the shuruhat of the hadith. And as I mentioned, it can be read in these ways. وَشَرَّ وَشَرُّ وَشَرَّ وَشَرُّ وَكُلَّ وَكُلُّ وَكُلَّ وَكُلُّ. All of this has come. And the other narrations likewise where one word will be used and in one wording and another word will be used in another wording. Some narrations, for example, maybe more than one companion will narrate the same narration. Maybe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the same hadith in a number of different gatherings at different times. And maybe in one time he would mention one wording and another wording that clarifies the situation. And all of this is transmitted to us. So maybe someone will hear one wording or learn one wording. For example, if a person, he began memorizing hadith, or she began memorizing hadith, maybe they'll start with the 40 hadith. They'll memorize some of the narrations in the 40 hadith. And then they'll think that narration is like that, and that's the only way it ever comes. And that's not the case. These are just examples, or these are just narrations and wordings of those narrations that that particular author has selected and chosen. But if you go back to the books of hadith, like Bukhari and Muslim, and so on and so forth, you'll find that this one narration has a number of wordings. The hadith of Jibreel is in the 40 hadith by the hadith of Umar, and it's in Sahih Muslim. But that hadith is also narrated by Abu Hurairah in Bukhari and in Muslim with another wording. That's not so famous to the people or to the layman and the likes like this. And the hadith of Ibn Umar, which is the second narration, is narrated in Bukhari and Muslim with a number of different wordings. In each of these wordings clarifying each other. And whenever you gather them together, this is whenever you have the whole complete understanding and idea of the intent from the narration. So the point is to be humble in learning. And if somebody, he learned something, he will not think that, mashallah, he has learned everything. Rather, the knowledge is like a vast ocean and that has no shore. So she says, فَقَوْلُهُ وَكُلُّ وَكُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلُّ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. You can read it both ways. كُلُّ لَفْظٌ مِنْ أَلْفَاظِ الْعُمُومِ يَدْخُلُ فِيهَا جَمِيعُ الْبِدَعِ وَأَنَّهَا كُلَّهَا ضَلَالٍ. So she says, now the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every newly introduced affair is an innovation, and every innovation is misguidance. She's saying here the word kul, which means every. This is from the terms that have an inclusive and general meaning, and it is what is included in here, every aspect of innovation. So every aspect of innovation, major or minor, it's all considered misguidance. So she says, وَالْعَادَاتْ نَفْسُهَا أَلَّتِي لَيْسَ لَهَا أَصْلٌ فِي الشَّرْعِ يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُقْضَى عَلَيْهَا. And the customs themselves that do not have any fundamental basis, in the legislation, it's incumbent to leave them. And to do away with them. لَا سِيَمَا وَالزِّيَارَاتُ لَا سِيَمَا وَالزِّيَارَاتُ يَوْمَ الْعِيدِ من مضيعة الوقت والمرأة غير مأذون لها في الكثار من الخروج وهي تذهب من بيت إلى بيت آخر. And especially since lots of visiting on the day of Eid is from wasting the time. And the woman, she's not allowed to go out of her house and leave often, going from one house to another. No doubt visiting all the time and seeing the people all the time is wasting time. The person does not need to do that. But on the day of Eid, this is the time for that. The day of Eid is the time for visiting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ayyamul Eid wa ayyamut tashriq, ayyamu aklin wa shurbin wa dhikrin lillah." That these days here, the day of Eid and the days of tashriq, and which are all considered from the days of Eid, these are days of eating and drinking and remembering Allah Azza wa Jal. So the fact that the believers, they visit one another in lawful and legislative manner without going to extremes on the days of Eid, this is the time for that. And Allah knows best. She says, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَقَالَنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. And she mentions a statement of Allah, the Most High, and the meaning of which is, And remain in your houses and do not display yourselves like that of the times of ignorance. Now, we have taken this. This is the general principle here. But I mentioned on the days of Eid, this is the time. If a person is going to visit and be with their family and friends on the days of Eid, this is a good time to do that, even then in moderation. Even then in moderation. So she says, to clarify, وَلَسْتُ أَمْنَعُ السُّرُورَ وَالرِّفَاهِيَّةِ فِي الْعِيدَيْنِ فَإِنَّ هَذَا مَشْرُوعٌ مَا لَمْ يُخَالِفِ الْكِتَابَةِ وَالسُّنَّةِ She says, I do not forbid having happiness and joy and a relaxation and the likes on the days of the two Eid, because this is something that's legislated so long as it does not contradict with the Qur'an and the Sunnah. So long as it does not contradict with the Qur'an and with the Sunnah. With the Qur'an and with the Sunnah. So now she's mentioning some evidences with regards to this. So she says, قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا أحمد قال حدثنا ابن وهب قال أخبرنا عمرو أن محمد بن عبد الرحمن الأسدي حدثه عن أروة عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أنها قالت دخل علي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعندي جاريتان تغنيان بغناء بعاث فاضطجع على الفراش وحول وجهه ودخل أبو بكر فانتهرني وقال مزمارة الشيطان عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So now she mentions the narration of Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله with his chain to Urwa. He says that عائشة رضي الله عنها, she said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to me one day and I had two little girls who were singing. I had two little girls with me singing. It's mentioned that this is on Eid likewise. Singing from the Ghina of Bu'ath. Singing about the battle of Bu'ath. A battle that happened between the Aus and the Khazraj just before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَانْطَاجِعَ عَلَى الْفِرَاشِ And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he laid down on the bed and he turned his face to the other side. And he turned his face away from them while they're playing and singing. وَدَخَلَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ فَتَنْتَهْرَنِي And Abu Bakr entered the room and then he scolded me. He was harsh with me. And he said, وَقَالَ مِزْمَارَةُ الشَّيْطَانِ عِنْدَ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم And he said, are the flutes and the musical instruments of the devil are present in front of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم فَأَقْبَلَ عَلَيْهِ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم فَقَالَ So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he turned to him and he said, دَعْهُمَا فَلَمَّا غَفَلَ غَمَسْتُهُمَا فَخَرَجَتَا So he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa turned to Abu Bakr and he said, leave them, leave the two of them, let them sing and play. Leave the two of them, let them sing and play. So she says, now whenever they're not paying attention, I poked the two of them and told them to leave. And they left. وَكَانَ يَوْمَ عِيدًا يَلْعَبُ فِيهِ السُّدَانِ بِالدَّرَقِ وَالْحِرَابِ And it was the day of Eid. And on that day, the Sudan, the people from the Sudan, any there from Habasha and the likes, they are playing in the masjid with the shields and the spears. And they're playing, but they're, in reality, it's a type of exercise. A type of exercise, playing in this manner with the swords and the spears, a type of sport on the day of Eid. فَإِمَّا سَأَلْتُ النَّبِيِّ وَإِمَّا قَالَ So either I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or else he told me. And she forgot which one it was. تَشْتَهِينَ تَنْظُرِينَ Would you like to look at them? And it's the day of Eid. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to Aisha radiallahu anha, would you like to watch them? Would you like to watch them and see what they're doing? فَقُلْتُ نَعَمْ So I said, yes. فَأَقَامَنِي وَرَأَهُ So he put me behind him. خَدِّي عَلَى خَدِّهِ My cheek on his cheek. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هو يقول. He would say, دُونَكُمْ يَا بَنِي عَرْفِدَ دُونَكُمْ يَا بَنِي عَرْفِدَ كِرِيَان يعني كِرِيَان أو tribe of عَرْفِدَ يعني بَنِي عَرْفِدَ حَتَّى إِذَا مَلِلْتُمْ قَالَ حَسْبُكِ قلت نعم. Until whenever I got bored of looking at them, he said to me, do you have enough? Do you have enough? حسبكي? She says, yes. She says, yes. And some wordings call it, أما شبيتي? أما شبيتي? Did you not, are you not full? Did you not get enough of it? And are you done looking at them or watching them? And she said, yes. And then he said, قال فاذهبي. Go ahead and leave. Go ahead and leave. Go ahead and leave. And so this is a clarification on the day of Eid. The way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to relax and to let the youth play in the normal that they will not allow them and the likes like this. And let them enjoy themselves and that which is lawful and permissible and to make it easy on those days and to have a good time, to have fun and to be happy. She says, وَقَالَ الْإِمَامُ أَبُو عَبْدِ اللَّهِ ابن ماجه رحمه الله حدثنا محمد بن يحيى قال حدثنا ابو نعيم عن اسرائيل عن ابي اسحاق عن عامر عن قيس بن سعد انه قال ما كان شيء على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الا وقد رايته الا شيء واحد فان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقلس له يوم الفطر So here she mentions the narration of Al-Imam Ibn Majah, rahimahullah ta'ala, with his chain to Qais ibn Sa'd radiyallahu anhu. He says that there was nothing in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that I did not see except for one thing, and that was on the day of Eid al-Fitr. He had people in front of him. He had the youth and the likes in front of him playing around, and he didn't witness this part. He didn't witness this part. So this is something that, again, is lawful, and playing and having a good time on the days of Eid, and this is established in the likes of these narrations. So she says, وَالْحَدِيثُ وَإِسْنَادُهُ صَحِيحٌ. And this narration is chain is authentic. Now she moves on to discuss the issue of giving congratulations on the day of Eid. She says, أَمَّا التَّهْنِيَةُ يَوْمَ الْعِيدِ فَقَدْ سُئِلَ شَيْخُ الْإِسْلَامِ عَنْ ذَلِكَ كَمَا فِي مَجْمُوعِ الْفَتَاوَى. As for giving congratulations on the day of Eid, then this is something that Shaykh al-Islam, he was asked about, rahimahullah, and it's just as has come in the work Majmu' al-Fatawa. فَأَجَابَ بِمَا نَصُّهُ. And he responded with the following response. لَيْسَ لَهُ أَصْلٌ فِي الشَّرِيَةِ. This has no fundamental basis in the text of the legislation. وَقَدْ رُوِيَ عَنْ طَائِفَةٍ مِّنَ الصَّحَابَةِ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَهُ. And this has been narrated from a group of the companions, radiallahu anhum, that they used to do that. وَرَخَّصَ فِيهِ أَلَئِمَّ كَأَحْمَدَ وَغَيْرِهِ. And the imams, they have allowed this, considered it permissible, like al-imam Ahmed and other than him. لكن قال أحمد. But Ahmed, he said, أَنَا لَا أَبْتَدِي أَحَدًا فَإِنْ ابْتَدَأَنِي أَحَدٌ أَجَبْتُهُ وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ جَوَابَ التَّحِيَّةِ وَاجِبٌ. انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. He says, but al-imam Ahmed, he says, that I do not begin anyone. Any meaning with the congratulations on the day of Eid. I will not begin anyone, be the first to say it to them. But if they say it to me, I will respond to them. And this is because responding to the greetings is an obligation. This is because responding to the greetings is an obligation. This is the end of the statement of Imam Ahmed. So Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, he's mentioning this affair, which has been narrated from a number of the Salaf. Number one is that the companions, they would congratulate each other. This has been narrated. There are narrations connected with chains that are authentic on the companions of the Allah anhum, that whenever they would meet each other on the days of Eid, especially after the prayer, they would congratulate one another saying, تَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَّا وَمِنْكُمْ. They would make dua for each other. So this is something that is established from the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And likewise, the Imams, they allowed that. And Imam Ahmed specifically, he mentioned that he would not do it first, but if somebody did it for him, he would respond. He would not greet them first, but if they greet him, he would respond. This was his personal methodology. He said this based upon the fact that if one is given a greeting, it's an obligation to respond with an equal greeting or one that is better. أَمَّا الْإِبْتِدَاءُ بِالتَّهْنِيَةِ فَلَيْسَ بِسُنَّةٍ مَأْمُورًا بِهَا. As for to begin giving the greetings, and this is not a sunnah that's ordered to be performed. وَلَا هُوَ أَيْضًا مِمَّا نُوهِيَ عَنْهُ. And likewise, it's not something that's forbidden. فَمَنْ فَعَلَهُ فَلَهُ قُدْوَةٌ وَمَنْ تَرَكَهُ فَلَهُ قُدْوَةٌ. So whoever does it, then he has a role model to follow, and whoever left it, then he has a role model to follow. Yani, the one who does the greetings on those days, there are some salaf who had done that, and those who do not do it on that day, then there are some salaf who have done that. So there's no need to go harsh in this affair. Rather, many of the scholars of our days have mentioned that it's lawful. It's come in the Mughani by Ibn Qudama, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 620 from the great scholars of the Hanbali madhab. He says, رحمه الله تعالى, وذكر ابن عقيل في تهنية العيد أحاديث منها. And Ibn Aqil, he mentioned a number of narrations about giving congratulations on the day of Eid from them. أن محمد بن زياد قال كنت مع أبي أمامة الباهلي وغيره من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And from those narrations is the narration of Muhammad ibn Ziyad. He said, I would be along with Abu Umama al-Bahili and other than him from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum. فَكَانُوا إِذَا رَجَعُوا مِنَ الْعِيدِ يَكُولُوا بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ تَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَّا وَمِنْكُمْ تَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَّا وَمِنْكُمْ. And whenever they're returning back from the prayer of Eid, they will say one to the other, may Allah accept from us and from you. وَقَالَ أَحْمَدْ إِسْنَادُ حَدِيثِ أَبِي أُمَامَ إِسْنَادٌ جَيِّدٌ. Imam Ahmed, he mentioned that the narration of this chain here of Abu Umama is a good chain. So therefore, this is something that's been reported from the companions radiallahu anhum that they would congratulate one another on the day of Eid by supplicating for each other that Allah would accept their efforts. There's another benefit here. Some of the people of knowledge, they have derived from this, and that is that the congratulations for Eid will not be until the day of Eid. Some people, they hasten and they're giving congratulations before even the Eid has entered. So how can a person congratulate someone for something that has not even entered yet? And also we see the methodology, what is apparent, and Allah knows best, is that the companions, they would do that after the prayer of Eid. And that which has come from them is that they would make dua. تَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَّا وَمِنْكُمْ. But the people of knowledge, they mentioned likewise by saying, for example, Barakallahu alayka shahr, Eid Mubarak, and the likes like this. This is all lawful and permissible. If someone were to do it, Alhamdulillah. And if somebody did not do it, Alhamdulillah. So she says now, وَقَوْلُ الْإِمَامِ أَحْمَدِ رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهِ وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ جُوَابَ التَّحِيَّةِ وَاجِبٌ. Yani referring to the statement of Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, that if somebody greets him on the Eid, then he would respond, but he does not begin the greetings. She says that because responding to the greetings is an obligation, يُشِيرُ إِلَى قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. He is referring to the statement of Allah the Most High. وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّ بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّهَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَسِيبًا. And whenever you are greeted with the greeting, greet in return with what is better than it, or at least return it equally, or at least return the greetings equally. Certainly Allah is ever careful, account taker of all things. Indeed, Allah, He takes everything into account and reckoning, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she says, فَإِنَّ قَوْلُهُ بِتَحِيَّةٍ. Indeed, the statement of Allah the Most High with the greetings, with a greetings. نَكِرَةٌ فِي سِيَاقَ الْإِثْبَاتِ. This is an indefinite word in the context of affirmation. وَالنَّكِرَةُ فِي سِيَاقَ الْإِثْبَاتِ تُفِيدُ الْإِطْلَاقِ. And a word that is in the indefinite form, in the context of affirmation, it indicates an absolute general understanding. And whoever greets you with any greeting that's, you know, lawful and good, then you must respond. So this was the aspect of the position of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. She mentions number five, the fifth and the last aspect of how the legislation has taken precaution in dealing with the trials that come about by women. من أسباب الوقوع في الفتنة. From the means that lead to falling into الفتنة. ترقيق المرأة صوتها, that a woman, she would make her voice sweet and soft. كما قال تعالى, just as Allah the Most High has said, فلا تخضعن بالقول فيطمع الذي في قلبه مرض وقلنا قولا معروفا Then be not soft in your speech, lest he in whose heart is a disease, in the meaning of hypocrisy and the desire for evil and adultery, should be moved with desire, but speak in an honorable manner. And the women are forbidden from speaking in this manner because there are men who have diseases in their hearts, and their hearts lust and crave for that which is forbidden from the impermissible lust and temptations, especially related to women. So therefore, it's not allowed for them to speak in a soft and sweet manner to strange men or in the company of strange men. So she says, فَالْوَاجِبُ عَلَى الْمَرْأَةِ الابتعاد عن كل ما يؤدي إلى الافتتان بها وأن تسون عرضها. So what is an incumbent obligation upon the woman is that she should stay far away from everything that leads to her being a trial. Everything that leads to her being a trial or a means for temptation. And also she must strive hard to protect her honor. She must be diligent and strive to protect her honor. And this is the end of the chapter. After this, the author, she moves on to the next chapter, An-Nisa'u Naqisatu Aqlin wa Deen. And inshallah, next week we have a seminar over the weekend, so we will not have class next week, but we resume after the seminar inshallah. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.